that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we're going to hear about and preview songs from the world premiere musical that opens next week at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. The show is called Rodeo, and it's a rootin' tootin' musical comedy set inside the world of steer riding and bronco bustin'. We'll be talking with the playwright, the director, and the music director. On today's program, we'll also be hearing from Pat Macias, board chair of MUNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, which just opened its doors to the public in its permanent home, the Veterans Memorial Hall in Chico. Macias will talk about MUNCA's plans to bring a variety of arts to homeless youth, and also how MUNCA continues to celebrate and honor local veterans with art. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tomorrow afternoon in Weaverville, the NorCal Jazz Festival brings music to Leifong Park. This year's performers include the group Bog, Allison Skull and Victor Martin, and headlining the show, the Delbert Bump Hammond Trio. Doors open at 4, the music starts at 4:30. At Shasta College, only 3 more performances of Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. This Stephen Sondheim musical thriller plays tonight and tomorrow at 7, with a staging Sunday at 2. At Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, a double bill of one acts, The Cost of Winning and None of the Above. See this pair of plays tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. Tonight, at Reading's Cascade Theater, a group that's a legend of country rock, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, in its 50th anniversary tour. Get down and dirty, starting at 7:30. The current exhibit at the Orland Arts Center, Wanderlust, featuring fine art travel photography by Karma Boyer. Boyer's subjects include California, Hawaii, Europe, and India. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico tonight, at the Downtown Plaza, the Friday Night Concert presents Rube and the Rhythm Rockers. Enjoy New Orleans-style blues and swing starting at 7 o'clock. Monday, at Sierra Nevada's Big Room, the Guitarinists. 3 blues guitar giants backed by a powerhouse rhythm section. These musicians bring blues power to the Big Room starting at 7:30. At the Chico Art Center, the National All-Media Juried Art Exhibition. This collection of works by local, regional, and national artists is on display Monday through Friday, noon to 4, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4. In Yuba City, follow the Yellow Brick Road to the Acting Company's current production, The Wizard of Oz. Meet all your favorite characters and hear all the songs you love, tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. In Grass Valley, at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, one of England's premier post-punk bands, the Psychedelic Furs. Rock out starting at 8 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Born this day, a giant of communications theory, Marshall McLuhan. According to McLuhan, art is anything you can get away with. We'll be right back.
That's music from the opening of a brand new musical premiering at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise next Thursday. The show is Rodeo. And we have Lynn Elliott, the author of it. He's written the script and the lyrics. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
We have Tamara Alspaugh. She is the musical director. Is this challenging to work on a show that's never been performed before, Tamara?
It's challenging and it's rewarding, both.
And we also have the director of this production, Jerry Miller. So, Jerry, I know you've done a lot of musicals, and particularly original musicals. You usually writing the script. What's this experience like working on a show where you did not originate the script yourself?
It's vastly different because you've got a lot of material that's only existed in the author's mind to this point. What we do is just create what we see on the page and try to envision it in our own way, and every inch of it is a creative process.
Tamara, would you describe this music, the tone of it, as country western, which would make sense for something about a rodeo?
Well, some of the songs are country western, and then some of the songs, there's a wonderful array of music that Marcel
Daguerre, he's one of the three composers who's working on this show.
We have surf, rock, rumba, swamp groove, country waltzes, and country groove, but they all really tie in well to the theme of the rodeo.
Well, Lynn Elliott, you grew up in Wales and right. The United Kingdom, which is a long way from a rodeo.
6,000 miles.
So how did you get into creating a show about a rodeo?
Well, it really comes from Ben Jonson, who was a contemporary of William Shakespeare. I wrote my PhD thesis on Jonson, and I fell in love with his Bartholomew Fair. What I loved about that play, and still love about it, is the place itself, Bartholomew Fair. It has a character of its own. It has a language of its own. It has a culture of its own. I've constantly wondered, what would be an equivalent? Suddenly I hit on the rodeo. It does have its own residence, its own language, its own culture. As a playwright, you think, okay, well, what would go into that environment that is going to challenge the people who came to that environment? That's where it began, was just a fascination with places, character in a play.
I know you've written a lot of plays before, right. Very acclaimed plays. But is it true that you've never written a musical before?
I have never written a musical before.
So what made you decide that you wanted to do a musical, which is a whole other level of complexity from just doing a play where you're controlling the dialogue and that's it?
Well, as I was thinking through this whole project and thinking of the rodeo itself, I became interested and fascinated by the events of the rodeo, the steer wrestling, the calf roping, the bull riding, and on and on. I thought, well, what if there was to be music associated with those events? So there's a bull riding song, there's a cowboy polka song, etc., etc. And there are also tunes which deal more with the characters themselves and plot development, character development, things like that.
How has it been different for you to add this element of music, knowing that music is going to be part of the fabric of the show beyond just the dialogue which you're used to writing?
Right. It was a challenge. What I love about the theater is that whatever I come up with in my head, it's not complete. I've finished, but I haven't finished. I give the script to Jerry. Jerry gives them to the actors. Between us, we create the character.
This is a question for both Lynn and Jerry. This is a workshop production. Short run, 2 weeks, opening next Thursday at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. What does workshop production mean?
A workshop means putting this out for the first time, and this is part of the growth period. The author is going to look at this, see what we've done with it. Okay, you know, I think I would do this better or different, or I think I would add this or eliminate this. It's a chance to see it off the page. Reading something and having actors sing it, walk it, and talk it is a very different experience.
Lynn, what's it been like for you to see this materialize with flesh and blood actors?
As a writer, in your head, you have definite images. Bullwhip Betty looks like this. when I go to the rehearsal, she's not there. Whatever image I had is not physically present. So the 6'8" redhead becomes a 5'2" brunette. That's the reality that you live with. It can be both challenging and at the same time intriguing.
You wrote the dialogue and you wrote the lyrics.
I went back to, what is it about bronc riding that can tell me something about life itself? There's a recurrent line in this play that says everything in life is rodeo. And so I was fascinated by what in life is like rodeo. Bareback bronc is an example, I think. And I was thinking, there are people that we all know who should be put on the back of a bareback bronc, and those bones should be rattled because they've become extremely rigid in their beliefs. And we all need to be challenged. Every one of us needs to be challenged by maybe being shaken up and down now and again on a bareback bronc.
You're looking at rodeo as some kind of metaphor,
for life. Yeah.
You know, I picture you growing up in Wales and the United Kingdom, quite a ways from actual rodeos. Did you have a romantic idea in your mind about a cowboy and bronco busting and all of that?
Yeah, that was certainly there. I was fortunately, my wife was actually involved in rodeo, and she was able to correct me many times and point out to me what certain parts of the saddle were and the equipment. She was always there to pick me up and put me back on the horse, which I wasn't riding. It was useful to have somebody who was a barrel racer herself.
So, Tamara, how many people are in the entire cast?
9. They're all talented in their own right, and they're working hard every day. It's all new material for them, and so they have to try and learn the song when they haven't heard how the show is supposed to go. What we do is continue to work. Sometimes we have to finagle some notes because it's not in the range of one of the actors, or work on how the phrasing goes. It's always a creative process.
Are your actor-singers excited about originating roles that have never been on stage before?
Oh, I think so. I think they're excited because you always have a world premiere somewhere. They're probably excited to be part of that.
Jerry, are you working with a choreographer on this show?
Yes, Emily Merkley, and she's a delight.
What's the dance vocabulary like? Does it look like Oklahoma or what is it?
No, it looks like everything. Country, Western, line dancing to ballet. We try to surprise you at every corner. We try to find different and innovative ways to handle the rodeo event musical songs. And our choreographer is also our feature dancer.
Lynn, how much is this show a general snapshot of rodeo as an event? And how much of it is a journey of a group of characters through a story?
Well, I had to create the landscape, the culture, the language of rodeo. And then you have to decide, well, what's a contrasting character? Who would come into this landscape who would be completely out of place? And I mean completely out of place. And so I had to bring in people who were physically out of place, linguistically out of place. And then I had to give them a reason. Why did they come to the rodeo? They had to come for a specific reason. They wanted to find the young girl who had fallen for a young rodeo boy. They had to get her and take her back to Manhattan and the Hamptons and New York City. Take her back to the real life. But, of course, one problem they have is that she didn't want to go. And secondly, how do you find the young girl when you're surrounded by the rodeo itself and the characters in the rodeo, and when you have to use them to be your guides?
When you were creating this show, Lynn, did you, say, go up to Red Bluff and the Red Bluff Roundup and actually hang out with the participants to really get a true feel of what a rodeo is like?
Yes, I went up to Red Bluff Rodeo many times, and it was just wonderful to be there. It gave me a lot of ideas.
The show is Rodeo, an original musical, and it premieres on Thursday this next week. Plays only two weekends at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise.
That's my opening, short and sweet. Ready to start, give me a beat. Remember, folks, enjoy the show. Everything in life is rodeo.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with Pat Macias, who is chair of the MoNCA Board, the Museum of Northern California Art, about a grant program she needs to have community contributions for. What is the grant, Pat?
This is Through the City. The title of it is Breaking the Cycle of Youth Homelessness. The museum will bring in homeless youth and their families into the museum environment. We will work with them on art projects, writing projects, performance projects over the course of about 2 months, 3 months. They will create an exhibition that will be open to the public.
Although it is now July, you're starting with this early because you need to have some funds contributed by members of the community.
Annie B's, through the North Valley Community Foundation, is not in existence anymore. The funding for this grant needs to be raised from the community during August 1st through the 31st.
It's really important to pin down what you're going to do when you submit a grant.
I proposed there would be positive role models available for these folks to not copy, but be a part of and learn from and take self-confidence from. Hopefully build up their own abilities to not only do art or to write or to perform, but to look at their life differently and to want to make a difference. This is a tough topic that I think sometimes gets taken the wrong way. There's other ways to reach people than always through the law.
How long would the program run, and how many times would participants meet in the program?
Weekly, whether it's at the museum, whether we go someplace else, whether we are in a different space, but mostly at the museum. We would have it in two different time frames. It would last a year. I can't guarantee the first group I had would be there in a year and ready to give an exhibition. So we will have two exhibitions, one halfway through, and then we may get a whole new group of people, which is great. Or we may get some people that are kind of wanting to stay all year.
Would this be confined to a certain age group, or would it include other members of the family?
It includes other members of the family. I have, at this point, connected with some artists that I work with at the Torres Shelter, one who has a brand new baby. I can't say, no, you can't be a part of it, because she's a wonderful artist, and in the long run, it will affect her baby. So whether or not that little child is actively participating, the mother is, and that, I think, is just as useful, building confidence.
Pat, how do you think the arts can help with the homeless problem?
Having worked and taught art at the tourist shelter for 5 years, I've come to realize art is one of the magic moments for them. It's a time when they don't have to think about being homeless. They can let their minds just be creative, be themselves, be free, instead of be pressured to think about what's going to be coming next.
Will it give them perspective on their own abilities?
Well, the whole idea is we're building their self-confidence, breaking the cycle of homelessness and not having a direction, not having a focus, not thinking you're worthwhile. We are all pretty close to being there if something happened to us. And I think about that a lot. And I think about what it would be like if I had to only think about where my next meal was coming from, where I was going to sleep.
Take us through a sample day of creativity for these youths.
My idea is to use this word home. What does home mean? Creating large cardboard homes that they create themselves. What would your home look like? What would you want it to be? How would you want it to function? Stimulating the imagination and trying to give them alternative ways of thinking.
There are many programs that have specific skills in mind, learning how to use a computer, for example. What would make this program different?
It's freeing the mind. There are no real instructions on how to do something. It is based on what they're thinking and what they can pull from their own minds.
There are some who feel it's necessary to be very well educated in order to go to a museum and enjoy the art. What would be your response to that?
One of the things we've said about this museum is we want it to be interactive. We want it to be an exciting place people come to and engage in conversation with somebody else. We're putting questions underneath the pictures and the paintings and the sculptures instead of here's the title, here's the artist, and here's the date. People pretty much don't look at that a lot, but they will look at a question that says, why is there corn in the background? And turn to somebody else and say, do you see that? Why did that artist do that?
Did you devise any of the questions?
We are in the process of doing that since we are just about ready to open those doors.
One of the marvelous things about your leadership skills is that you're a real connector. You bring in many different organizations, and that's true with this homeless art project.
My theory is we get more impact if we collaborate with other groups instead of trying to do something on our own. With this grant, we'll be working with Chapman School, the 6th Street Center for Youth, Taurus Community Shelter, the Work Training Center, where we are hoping that they will shuttle our folks down to the museum, the Chico Inklings, which is a writing group, and BCAC-TV in hopes that they will document the whole project.
It's a wonderful way to make connections and to reinforce skills because you have such a collaborative situation going on here.
Well, I think that that's another way for these youth to see what is possible. Maybe video or music will also enlighten them.
This is a city percentage matching grant, so you would like to encourage listeners to help out with this.
Yes, between August 1st and August 31st, they can go to the North Valley Community Foundation's website, which is nvcf.org, and find out about the correct way to write the check if that's what they want to do, or they can go through a credit card.
I'd also like you to say a little bit about your involvement with veterans.
We are just so grateful that we have this wonderful Veterans Memorial Hall. Inside, if you haven't been in yet, we have a beautiful new veterans exhibition space. They will be changing their exhibits probably 3 or 4 times a year. And because we want to honor the vets and to thank them and to be grateful for letting us use this space, I always am looking for opportunities that we can reach out and work with them. So through the Friends of the Arts and Deborah Lacero, we have a grant that is coming up that will work with veteran artists. There's an artist from the Bay Area I'm trying to get to come here that's a veteran that would have an exhibition also.
And would this artist be speaking with veterans groups?
Possibly. Also doing workshops. What he does is he takes old uniforms and shreds them into fibers and then makes paper with them and does printmaking on the paper.
That's really exciting. Well, thank you so much.
You can take a look inside the Museum of Northern California Art, MUNCA, in its newly opened permanent home in the Veterans Memorial Hall in Chico on Esplanade across from Chico High. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can always hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.